Heaven in Hiding, a Dumat fic written by M. Mummy Dust and read by Fortitude Do Not Panic. Summary: Jean-Paul has never been a religious man, but Matthew Murdock may be all the proof he needs that something close to heaven exists. Or, Matt and Jean-Paul have drinks over dinner, get caught in the rain, and Matt shows Jean-Paul how he used to get girls in college. To say the absolute least, the last few days have been an interesting welcome. Running into a blind man being followed, keeping him from getting mugged, getting drinks and his number, and then being asked by the aforementioned man to go out for dinner later in the week is not a typical welcome. Unless New York is way different than Jean-Paul remembers and he just didn't get the memo. Regardless, he isn't complaining, especially considering he's being accompanied by a man like Matt Murdock. Sure, the raid isn't an ideal end to the night, but it also gives him an excuse to keep Matt's arm hooked with his own a bit tighter than usual as they hurry down the street. They do their best to use the building overhangs to their advantage, which only lasts so long before they have to stop underneath one to catch their breath through their own laughter. I'm so sorry, Matt laughs, his head falling back against the brick of the building they're seeking protection under. He rests his hands on top of his cane, looking over in Jean-Paul's direction. Swear it wasn't supposed to rain like this. Jean-Paul gives a breathless laugh of his own, shaking his head. They're both fucking drenched, which would be less enjoyable if the company wasn't so pleasant. Heightened senses and you cannot even predict the weather? What's the point then? He knocks Matt's shoulder, watching as he slides his glasses from his nose to wipe the rain from them on the hem of his shirt. Matt laughs again, warm and smooth, and Jean-Paul can't help but notice how it makes his own stomach flip. Matt silently notices how it makes his heart skip a beat and turn. That goddamn laugh is enough by itself to make Jean-Paul realize he is, for lack of a better word, absolutely screwed. At least he can still blame some of what he's feeling on the handful of drinks they had shortly before. Sliding his glasses back on, Matt checks his head, an easy smile still on his face. Sorry to disappoint. Considering the blind man can do everything else but predict the weather. I dare you. He presses his lips together to keep from laughing again. Still, Matt shoots him a smirk to let him know it's all in jest. Matt clears his throat one more time, his fingers flexing around his cane for a few moments. I'm just a couple more blocks down if you want someone to wait the rain out. Jean-Paul looks over him a few times, the same breathless smile on his lips. His eyes linger on the curve of his jaw, the few stray strands of rain-soaked hair that have fallen against his forehead, the ease of his shoulders rising and falling. Saying no isn't even a possibility in his mind, even if Matt means it in the most innocuous way. He nods without thinking, before following up a few seconds later. That would be great. Yes, yeah. He nodded. Matt grins. How do you know? I didn't at first, I just knew you'd agree. Has anyone ever told you how humble you are, Matt Murdock? Jean-Paul rolls his eyes, pushing his own wet hair back before leaning up from the wall. He slides his arm back through Matt's without a word, and even he can't help but notice how he leans into him a bit more as they walk. They also mention my good looks, my charming personality. Admittedly, Jean-Paul is still surprised by how effortlessly Matt is able to get them back to his apartment. Regardless, he's thankful to just be out of the sudden cold downpour, especially once they start hearing thunder overhead. He shucks off his coat and Matt pulls off his own jacket, leaving them both hanging on the hooks in the hallway. It's also too difficult for him not to notice the way Matt's fingers tug at the neck of his tie to loosen it as he's led into the living room. Drink? Matt is already opening the fridge and pulling out two bottles, and Jean-Paul is immediately drawn in by the neon billboard in front of the window, as most are when they're with it for the first time. The neon reflects off of the rain splattering against the window, covering most of the room in subtle pink light. Oh yeah, thank you. And a towel if you have one? He laughs under his breath, meeting Matt in the middle of the room to grab the bottle being offered. Matt grins, which is rather unfortunate for Jean-Paul's well-being once again, and nods, brushing by him and stepping towards the bedroom. Of course. Jean-Paul takes a couple of moments to himself to finish glancing around the apartment while sipping from his beer. Finally, falling back against the sofa as Matt walks in to toss a dry towel in his general direction. He notes, probably too quickly, how his soaked dress shirt has since been replaced with a black tee. "Thank you for dinner, again," he insists, ruffling the towel through his hair and over his face a bit. Matt has already sat down next to him, his arm resting over the back of the couch as he takes a sip from his own bottle. The neon pink of the billboard against the red of his glasses catches all of Jean-Paul's attention at that moment. The towel he's gripping holds it at the back of his head. The collar highlights the rise of Matt's cheekbones, reflects from the bottle in his hands, and along with that easy smile on his lips, Jean-Paul has never been a religious man, but Matthew Murdock may be all proof he needs that something close to heaven exists. "Least I can do." Matt clears his throat, turning towards him on the sofa. Their knees knock together, and Jean-Paul pretends like he doesn't notice, while Matt pretends like it isn't intentional. "You basically saved my life, you know, Jean-Paul?" There's an obvious level of playfulness in his words as the towel is tossed in his direction. "You could at least act grateful." Matt chuckles and tosses the towel aside after scrubbing it through his hair. The sound reverberates against the wall of Jean-Paul's chest, echoes against the walls of the apartment. No, I am. He insists quickly with a shake of his head, the hand on the back of the sofa coming up to run over the wet shirt covering the other man's shoulder. Hardly with hesitation, Jean-Paul notices. "Most people wouldn't bother to be so kind around here. Or be so perceptive." The warmth of the skin under the fabric is enough to make his mouth run dry for a moment, which he, hopefully, hides with another sip of his drink. "Do you mind if I..." The motion of Jean-Paul loosening the first few buttons on his shirt causes him to pull his hand back. "Want me to turn around?" Smartass. He recognizes the sound of the wet garment being tossed to the chair across the coffee table a few seconds later, along with the uncovered scent of Jean-Paul's faint cologne mixed with cigarettes. He would never be able to deny the warmth he feels grow in his middle if he tried. There's a slight dip in the sofa as Jean-Paul moves closer to him, relaxing back against it. "Could I ask you something?" "If you want to use what's likely your honorary blindness-related question this early, sure." But he has a quiet laugh as Jean-Paul takes a drink from his bottle before asking. "Is it easy to tell people apart, besides hearing them speak?" "That's the easiest thing, actually," Matt nods, leaning to set his beer on the coffee table with a quiet sigh. "Everyone has their own gates, holds themselves differently. Some people wear specific cologne, or fold their hands a specific way, tap on their phone screen in a specific rhythm." "You and Foggy wear a different cologne, for instance. I can tell that." "I suppose that would be a bit awkward if it was not the case, huh?" "Sort of." Matt jokes. "But I also notice you fidget your fingers, and Foggy never does, if you want to compare. And, I mean, the accent helps. A lot. And the prosthetic. So you're saying there's not a subtle thing about me, is what I'm hearing." Jean-Paul nudges his knee teasingly. "You roll your shoulders back a bit when you don't know what to say, and you always do the same exact..." Matt reaches over to him without a second thought, pushing his damp hair back with a gentle hand to demonstrate the motion. "Thing with your hair when it gets in your eyes." Jean-Paul reaches for his hand before he gets the chance to put it away, lacing their fingers together. Instead, Matt goes back to resting his hand against the other man's shoulder. "It's nice. Natural," he notes. "Comfortable." He even lets his fingers lightly play at the hair on the nape of his neck. "Soft" is the only word that comes to mind. "Do you ever wonder what they look like, though? Try to put a face to a voice?" Jean-Paul asks carefully, leaning into his touch. He's watching Matt intently, his gaze curious in the most genuine sense. "Sure I do." Matt shrugs a shoulder. "And if I really want to, with people I'm close with, there are ways you can kind of get to see them." Jean-Paul tilts his head a bit before speaking after a moment of realization. "How?" "You touch them. Their faces, I mean. Matt straightens up in his seat with a slight smirk. It's, if you have voices and vibrations and movement, it helps complete the picture, in a sense, and it works great on girls when you're in college. That makes Jean-Paul laugh out loud. Matt relishes the way it rings in his ears for a split second. There's a silence that falls for a couple of beats between the two of them, before Jean-Paul asks tentatively, "Would you show me how it works?" "You're not blind." Another laugh, warm, bright. "Not what I meant." "I know. Here." Shifting closer, Matt places his hands on his own knees. Jean-Paul does the same, straightening up and watching him carefully. The closeness makes the hair on the back of his neck stand up almost immediately. It's probably best that he has no idea just how acutely aware Matt is about all of this, especially judging by the way Matt can practically hear the quickening of his pulse or the way his fingers are lightly tapping against his knee with nervous little touches. "It's all incredibly endearing," Matt thinks. "Close your eyes." Jean-Paul does as he says, exhaling through his nose while he waits with the same little smile on his lips. He starts to feel the featherlight touches of Matt's fingertips at his hairline, then down over the shape of his eyebrows a few moments later. Matt chooses not to point out how he can feel the goosebumps rising in his wake. "What color are your eyes?" he murmurs quietly, his fingers brushing ever so gently over Jean-Paul's eyelids. "Brown." Matt hums in reply, his touches falling over the rise of his cheekbones. He presses his lips together to hide his smile at the feeling of the flush on his cheeks, the way his heart skips a beat. "What?" Jean-Paul's eyes open in slits. "Nothing. You're nervous." "How do you know?" "Just do." The only thing close to a reply Matt gets is the way he swallows thickly. His fingers move over the slight scruffiness of his jaw before over the curve of his lips. Whether or not it's completely intentional, he lets his thumb smooth over the lower lip slowly, just to catch the quiet hitch in Jean-Paul's breath. He smirks, giving a soft laugh. Jean-Paul exhales quietly. He's trying his best not to think about the way Matt's breath feels against his lips, taking a moment to shift restlessly in his spot. Between the rising rate of his pulse, the warm flush of his skin, the way his breath gets caught in his throat, Matt has him exactly where he wants him. All Jean-Paul can find himself focusing on is the pads of his fingers against the skin, weathered and warm. Nothing to be nervous about. Jean-Paul only realizes where Matt's touch has moved once he allows himself to be pulled back to the present, over the slope of his clavicles before he feels Matt's palm flatten against his chest. "See?" Matt murmurs innocently, a smug little smirk pulling at his lips as Jean-Paul opens his eyes. "Just like that." It's nice." Jean-Paul pretends not to notice how close they still are, noses almost brushing. "Isn't it?" Jean-Paul is also trying to ignore the way Matt's thumb smooths back and forth against his skin, still slightly chilled from pulling his wet shirt off a few minutes back. He decides to bring his hands up and rub them loosely around Matt's forearms, not being able to resist the way he leans in just slightly closer. "I can see why this worked on so many people." He breathes with a small, easy smirk, eyes half-lidded as they flicker over Matt's face. He's lucky enough to hear another quiet laugh from behind his lips. "This is by far one of my favorites, though." He practically whispers, before taking the initiative to lean forward and take Jean-Paul in a slow, careful kiss. It's almost embarrassing how quickly Jean-Paul finds himself absolutely melting into it. One hand going to rest reflexively on the other man's thigh, while the other goes to the back of his head. His head tilts into the embrace, letting his teeth nip lightly at Matt's lower lips. His mind goes blank once he feels Matt ever so lightly run his nails down the spine of his chest. He tries to hide the shiver that falls down his spine, but naturally fails miserably, especially given the quiet whimper he tries to bury against their kiss. His head tips to the side as Matt's lip find the edge of his jaw, his hand tugging gently as his hair in encouragement. It sounds like the rain stopped. He mutters with a slight smirk. Shame. but sighs before letting his teeth graze gently at the spot behind Jean-Paul's ear. One of his hands has since slid to rest against his lower back, his nails continuing to run over the bare skin. It's clear his attention is elsewhere. Could I convince you to stay? He already knows the answer. You are already offering a compelling argument. Well, Matt lets his lip move to briefly kiss him again. Arguing is kind of my whole thing, you know? And for what it's worth, I have plenty of other ways I like to get to know people. Jean-Paul chuckles, giving a playful shake of his head before leaning in again. You're lucky that I left my night open, then.